Good evening, Patriots. And tonight is Sunday, March 24th in the year 2024. An interesting time we live in, with so much happening and a big event on April 8th, which is the solar eclipse. And I hope you're all going to be able to be there. Spent a lot of the day looking at that event and kind of sniffing around a lot of the theories of what's going on. And I think, you know, the summation of most of this is that there's pretty much an umbrella of fear over everything in our life, or at least they want there to be. And they want us to believe that something significant is going to happen. And I believe that April 8th will represent probably something very significant, but not in the immediate. And I think it will be an awakening and a continued spiritual lifting of people. And so I really encourage you to be part of it. I think it's going to be an amazing event. We have two locations on this event, if you are not familiar with this already. We have one event going on in Ohio and another event happening in Texas. And so the Ohio event is in Brookville, Ohio, and the Texas event is at Kimato, Texas. Kimato is right near where the eclipse begins in the United States. And Ohio is high up on that trajectory as it's leaving the United States. Two different events, two different groups. Pastor Rod Parker is running the event down on the border, and the Resistance Chicks and myself are running the event up in Brookville. You can register for the event over at bartsfest.com, because it's going to be starting Sunday night. It's going to be prayer, worship, communion, revival. The next day, it's going to be starting at 10. We're going to be doing prayer, worship, speakers, revival, repentance, the whole thing all day long with some great deliverance. It's going to be an amazing event, and I'm looking forward to being there. And it's really, I think, where we go to that whole place of, I kind of subtitled tonight's show Beginnings. I think we're just really at a point of beginnings right now. It's an interesting time because it's spring, and it's time to get your seeds going, and there's just a lot of new things happening. So really a good time to step in and experience this full eclipse if you can, if you're able to. It'd be pretty amazing. So again, head on over to bardsfest.com, and you can register for the Ohio event or the Texas event, either one, and kind of go from there. Giving a lot of thought today, actually, about, well, just a lot of things, as I was doing some cleaning and some inventorying of things, and kind of just looking around at what we have in our world, and then what we need and what we have in excess. And that's just kind of one of my normal spring things that I do as I enter in. I look around it. There's a tendency to build up clutter, and there's a refinement of what we need, and then there's the excess of what we have and we enjoy, but do we really need it? What's interesting to me is when you get ready to go on trips, which is always nice, you get into that more refined place, because especially when you're traveling, it doesn't matter what you're traveling in. When it happens that you're traveling in a Jeep and you're going to have two small dogs on the way back, not so small puppies, but anyway, when you're going to add that, you're looking at everything in terms of efficient space, exactly what you need, exactly what you don't need. And you're also thinking about things differently, because on a trip these days, and this is ever since we started in the COVID con, all my trips have been with limited, I think the exception of one trip, my trips have all been driving, and I do think differently. I think very differently. I think in terms of what's the minimal equipment set I need to do my podcasting and keep that going. What's the things I need to make sure that if things are short, I can fix the Jeep. So I literally carry a full equipment set in the Jeep to fix most everything in the Jeep. What do I need for camping and survival? What do I need if I have a go bag? And I have one of those always set. What types of things go in that go bag? What do I have for self-defense? And what do I have for sustainment of food and water? And then what about fuel? And then what about, and well, as currencies, like what if you can't use digital currency, do you have cash, do you have silver, that sort of thing. And those are just factors that go into every single trip that I do. And I think it's important that we kind of get in that mindset. And I don't know if you are, but I'm going to encourage you to be there if you're not. I mean, every time you travel at this point in time, I think there's just some things to start thinking about as we are approaching a new type of America. And it is it's an America that is not like anything we've known in the past. I was having a conversation with my mother the other night and just advising them, my parents now, as they're older, to as much as possible be together when they shop, because things are changing. We're seeing an influx of illegal aliens. We're seeing an influx of people that this tyrannical government is trying to bring in. And we're having to change a lifestyle of security and things that we've taken for granted so long in our world. And we've literally become complacent and reliant upon the police to do the thing. But there's events that can change all of that. I don't know what's coming. And this is where this all is all kind of originating from in a deeper way. Is it whatever's going to come out of the eclipse is going to begin to change things. And I just have this, we hear it, and I believe it. I think it's that significant. I think if you listen to last night's show in particular, what you're looking at and hearing from last night's show is there's so many God events lining up, things that only God could do. You can't arc out a passage of the sun, but even go further back than that, just to have the number of cities that are in an alignment of an arc of say 2017 to start with, and the number of cities named Salem that are in the arc path of total darkness of the eclipse that literally follow that arc. And they're not scattered all about. They're literally in an arc line. And then the number of cities that are in the arc line that are Nineveh, that are in the same arc line. These are just not normal. This isn't something that can be seen as anything other than God's hand. And so we're looking at an event that is by itself, just by the alignments, very significant. And I'm of the belief, and I truly mean this, that we are walking into a very critical time where we're going to be facing either those that will be consumed with fear, those that will be consumed with faith and joy. And that division is going to make a significant difference of what happens in the coming months. And I think that as God will work this, I think those that are walking in that place of comfort and security in the rock of faith are going to see a very different world evolve in the coming months and years. I think those that are walking in that place of fear are going to deal with another type of world. We're going to be walking parallel. It's not like another dimension or anything like this, but the world is going to look very different because it's going to be shaped by the principal issues. And God doesn't want to scatter his children. He wants to bring them all home. So there's a process which we're going to be bridging together and having to learn to come together. And I do believe there's going to be something very significant. I don't know what it's going to be. And that leads us back to kind of this preparation thing, because if whatever that event is, I don't know what it is. I don't know. You know, we heard Jamie Walden speak of a comet that's coming, and that may be very well true. I don't know. And because they've already kind of been teasing that up in the news, that there's this comet that I don't know what they call it, like Satan's comet or something like that. Naturally. I mean, why would we call it anything else than dark and evil, right? Because we're the cabal, and anything that's good, we shall name darkness, and anything that's darkness, we shall name good. I mean, that's literally the cabal, right? Yeah, someone said it's the devil's comet. I mean, why not call it that, right? So the important thing to realize is that as these events come closer and more visible and they become more clear, and I think that's the big piece, is the amount of information flow. And I think that's what struck me today, is that how fast information is now flowing and how quickly, whether or not things are vetted is not so much the issue, is that there is so much information flowing out here right now. Much of it we have to constantly question and discern, but the point is that there is a picture evolving, that there's something significant on the horizon. And this significance, I think, is big enough that when it is realized that everything that our government is will be discredited. Basically, it will be the understanding when it's finally realized that they have been lying to people, not just for a year, but for years and years and years. And it doesn't have to be the root of these things we're talking about, even. It doesn't have to be that place of which we know that they do. We know that they're all pedophiles. We know that they all track, you know, they're all the satanic cult. But it's the principal issue of integrity of truth. And there's something coming here that is going to shake that up. And we're going to start seeing these characters being who they are, which is, I think, is increasingly becoming unavoidable. And when that happens, our whole communities change. And they change in a big way. We become dependent on government. We have become expecting that, okay, security is going to be taken care of by the police department or the sheriff's department. We can become expectant that, you know, I turn on my water and there's going to be somebody at the waterworks and they're going to make sure that water is working fine. All of these pieces. But what happens when everybody comes to the sudden realization that the government that we've been working under has just been lying, and that a significant event is about ready to change the world? What is that? I don't know what that event is, and I'm not trying to make a projection on what it is. We could talk about a lot of theories. We can talk about a lot of things. There's going to be the end of times theories. There's going to be the Great Awakening theories. There's going to be the astral theories. There's all sorts of things that are possible. And we really don't have what that answer is. But we do feel it. Every one of us feels it, that something significant is coming. And even if that something significant is just the touch of the love of Jesus in our heart, that suddenly opens up our hearts to love, the world looks different. Suddenly everything that we see becomes a major lie. And then the question is, are you going to commit your life to that lie anymore? And this is where the crux of what I was getting at is, and why things have changed so much. They changed for me, significantly changed for me right at COVIDCon. Not that they didn't before. I remember when I was back at Asymmetric Warfare Group, and we were working on creating prepper survival kits that were TSA friendly. Not easy to do, but we were doing the various things that we could create and to pack that could be broken apart and would look innocuous, but you could put them together and use them in various ways. But some things are just basic, you know, whether it's ability to start a fire, whether it's an ability to carry a light. You know, if you have a credit card, there's some certain credit card type things you can get that are razor sharp on one edge. You can use as a knife. There's a lot of things like this that are out here. And by the way, this is not advice on how to bypass TSA, but it can be done. So my point of this is that we were working on that concept back in 2012 and 2013, because the understanding was that we were at a very unstable point in our history. And there was no place I went without thinking through those things. Like, did I have a few days of rations? Did I have a way to communicate, whether it was cell phone or sat phone? Did I have cash and silver with me in case I had to go to ground? Did I have something that I could bivy sack? And did I have a parka? And did I have layered material, which is my layered clothing, which is a great way to reduce weight and keep yourself warm? Did these things, and were these things all neatly packed in a way that was not alarming, but they were part of a regular kit? And this was a mentality that we were working with a lot in how to just have it as part of your regular life in what we called adaptability training. And this, again, is where we're at, because if at a point when we arrive at an awakening and people suddenly start to see the truth of what we're living under, suddenly the world changes in a significant way, in a big way. People find themselves no longer wanting to be part of this event. I've listened to a couple of videos now. We played one this morning and at the end of the show last night, same video. I'm not going to play it tonight. But it was this whole principle of a woman giving testimony to what this time is and what it was to literally be in a what this has done for her and how this has driven her more deeply into this love in Christ and this love in God. And when we are looking at this from this lens, we start to realize just how significant the spiritual awakening is at the time we're in, and what that means to us all, and how it changes and transforms us. I think I just changed my mind. I'm going to go ahead and play this piece because I think it adds a significant amount of dimension tonight to what we're talking about. And for those of you that heard last night's show and this morning's show, it'll be a repeat. But I think this adds a real dimension to where I'm getting at, which is there is an awakening happening that doesn't necessarily need to be some significant astral event or the EMP that wipes out everything or suddenly the collapse of the financial system. It's much more subtle. It's much more impactive, but it's transforming people inside, and they're taking their eyes off of the institution And now they're looking within themselves. And as this happens, I want you to imagine what that looks like if you're a police officer, or if you're going to a job that's at the waterworks company, or if you're a garbage pickup guy. If your job is just that job to do, this change in awakening is going to take away your interest in even doing that job. Your value purposes change. And if we add to that a greater understanding of significant events coming, as people in awake are seeing, we all know that we're at a tipping point for the economy. That's not even a question. And you can talk to financial people all day long and they'll be like, no, we can get through. We all know that we're feeling it. We all know that inflation is crushing us in many different ways. We know that there's these shortages that are being created. There's a change. There's a change in where people are wanting and going back to growing their own food. There's a change where people are starting to look at raising their animals. There's a change in where they're valuing their time with family. They're valuing time with children. These changes change our perspective on the job. So how does that happen? How does that affect our communities when we start to look at things and you're relying on that police officer that suddenly he's tired of being abused for what he does. And instead he's like, I just want to go home and I just want to make a simpler living. And I want to raise rabbits and chickens as an example, or I want to start making my own leather products, or I'm going to make holsters or whatever that is. I'm going to use gifts and talents. We start to see a change in society that transforms the very things that we have become reliant on and dependent on. Let me play this piece again. Like I said, I wasn't originally going to do it, but I think it's worthy. It's 5 minutes, and I think it's an exceptional testimony just from the heart of somebody who's just really talking about what this period in time has done for her.
Is anybody else just fed up with the absolute distraction, deception, lies that everything feels like? It's really hard when you're awake and you have such a deep, deep awareness. It's lonely. It's lonely because no one understands you. People start to think you're crazy. I've been, you know, isolated, essentially. I feel like God has isolated me to a point where I am forced to work on my relationship with Him. I am forced to find peace in Him. And when you find that, it's not something you want to let go of, and you crave more and more and more of it. And you go through this so many times that you start to just feel different. You start to live life differently. It's hard for me to ignore deception. Things going on in the royal family, things going on in Hollywood, things going on with the elites. Like, we all know what's going on. Most of us at this point are awake to it, but you start to see it so fast and so clearly, and it's kind of a lonely place to be because you start speaking out about the truth, which is crazier than fiction sometimes, and it's crazy to people and they don't understand it. And when you are living with such a deep understanding of the truth, and you know, and you can spot so clearly when someone is walking in true Jesus ways, and when they're not, and I'm not perfect, I'm not even close, but I do my best to live like the Bible wants us to live, right? And when you see other people being deceptive, and then there's all these people out there that, you know, will be so quick to cry, oh, you're such a conspiracy theorist. Like, we're talking about living in truth here, okay? It's not even about the actual theories that are happening. It's just that we're clear that there's deception, and we just want the truth at this point. We want to live with honesty and transparency, and man, it's just, it's so hard. And I find myself in such a deep awareness of God and protecting my peace so much that it's hard to be around other people. The meaningless, what's the weather doing today? You know, what'd you do this weekend? Oh yeah, we're going on a trip. All that stuff is just, it's fine, but it's not, I crave such a deep I crave honesty and truth and transparency and deep connections with people and deep conversations about life, about what's going on in our world, about God, about, you know, how hard it is to be awake sometimes, to be walking in a more biblical way and turning your life over to Jesus and what that looks like. And it's, I find it tough. Even people that are, you know, in the church, I feel like are all hiding something. You know, we're not being honest and truthful with each other because we're either ashamed or we feel guilty or whatever. But, you know, it's so important that we can, I recently heard it's so important that we confess these things and confess our lives and be truthful and be honest. And that's what I want. And finding people who understand that, I mean, it's like, where? It's funny because I see people on this app and I'm like, I know they're out there, right? Like, we know that there are other people like us out there, but how come they're not in my friend circle? Why don't they live closer? Why are they not in my immediate friend circle? It's just a lonely place sometimes. Being awake is extremely lonely. Sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. And what do you do with that? It's why I just keep digging in deeper. You know, I just dig deeper and deeper and deeper. And I'm doing this Bible study right now about, you know, our identities in Christ. And it's like, man, I've had it wrong this whole time. I have literally worried more about what my title has been at my job, my friends have thought about my situation or circumstances, what my relationships have said about whether I'm worthy to be chosen or valued or respected or not, that like I've completely lost sight of what we should be looking at, and that is God, and God first and foremost. And now I see darkness and evil so easily. It's hard. I can't listen to the same music I used to listen to. I don't see Hollywood the same. I don't see elites the same. I see the deception. I see everything for what it is. And it's like, man, everything that we thought we knew is not what we knew. It's not. And finding people that understand that and can like really go into those conversations, it's difficult to find. But if you're out there and you're one of me, just know that I'm out here too. So we're not alone.
See, here's the thing that's interesting in the sense of where we arrived at. And I think this is the next step where we're headed. And one of the reasons this is subtitled Beginnings Tonight. And something she said there that really strikes me. I can't listen to them. I don't see the movies the same way. I don't see the music the same way. Because we're not supposed to be always outsourcing. We're supposed to be creating. We're the creators. We're not supposed to be the consumers. And we built into a society where the creation has been outsourced to a, quote, class of elites that somehow we're convincing ourselves that we are not worthy or we are not capable, which is just wrong. We don't sing in hymn together much unless we want to go listen to him. We don't play music much, not everybody, of course, but we don't play music collectively much because someone's better or I'm not good enough or I'm too old to learn or it's too difficult. But these are things now that, like I was shaping, is our world is changing. It's changing significantly. So when I go back to kind of the story I was beginning with, which is this idea of travel, and the way I think about travel actually takes me back to the way I grew up, which was that you go prepared with tools. You go prepared with things because I'm not expecting to rely on somebody. I bring my Chilton's manual for my Jeep because if I have to repair something and I don't know, I can look it up and I can repair it. I bring the tools to camp and the ability to prepare my own food. And if necessary, if it came that bad and a sudden change of things, I can even hunt. But all that comes in my mindset when I travel because it's a different way of thinking. And in a world today, when you're still locked deep within the matrix, you would never think of this. You're going to be like, well, why would you bother? You have hotels and you have the places of convenience stores and you've got gasoline places to go along the way to get the hot dogs laden with whatever else they put in them. They roast for hours on the grill, which they still taste pretty good, you got to admit. And they have all these things around them and they don't think about taking their own food. They don't think about the preparations. They don't think, and there's a process of joy in this too. these aren't burdens. These are another level of experience and knowledge because we're supposed to be creators. It's no different than growing your own food in your backyard. It's no different than raising your own animals to provide your own beef or your whatever meat you're raising. These are things that we're doing because we're supposed to be in that process of creating and stewarding, not consuming and being dependent as slaves. So as we look at the greater world and see how things are happening, this testimony alone is enough for us to be able to get a glimpse into what is happening at the undercurrent in society. Maybe it will be something significant that's in the sky that we see that will change our lives. Maybe it will be something significant in the spiritual place that suddenly in the eclipse, everybody suddenly gets this supernatural awakening. Maybe. But I don't think that's the way God works. And I don't think there's testimony to show that that's how God works. I think instead we're going to be seeing this steady change, this steady realization as the layers of the illusion are torn down. You know, and this is where we get into the theories of like, is this an organized group of people that's organizing this master coup? This is kind of the Q narrative. And it's like, I don't think so. I think that whatever has stimulated this, most of what we're seeing is the organic awakening of who we are. We seek knowledge, just like that testimony is. We seek a deeper relationship in things. Once the veneer of falsity is taken from us, we want something more important in our lives, just rather than just checking in and punching in our time card to do our job. And the shallowness of a world where money is just to pay bills wears off very quickly. I was fortunate when I grew up with a father that loved his job and shared those passions with me. I was fortunate with a mother who loved to cook and shared those passions with me. So I took those things and I've taken them to my own direction. And I've enjoyed that in my life, having those passions to awaken in me. And I've been fortunate in my life as I've sought those passions, as they say in martial arts, when the heart is ready, the teacher appears. And I've had that in my life. And I believe that's there. But I think that's also indicative of when we're seeking the being in the creative walk rather than the submissive walk. There's only been a very few times in my life that I've worked for a corporation. I couldn't fit. I can't stand it. I can't stand checking into a cubicle and being obedient to someone else's vision. And I'm sure that had I pursued those tracks, I would have made a ton more money. But that's not what it's about, ever. And that was, if there was one value that I grew up with, it's never been about the money. It's been about being satisfied with what you do at the end of the day, being able to do a good job with talents that you have and do something great. And this is where our world is pivoting. So when we look at our communities now and we see the dependencies in which we have, and I just want you to just sit for a minute and walk with me in this look into a different type of world, a world that is continually touched and by this awakening of the heart, a world that now is trying to find greater purpose and meaning in why we are here rather than just having to work as a greeter at Walmart or working as a clerk at a store to stock shelves or punching in every day to go drive around the community in your car to sit and give tickets or to deal with domestic disturbances and be, you know, be railed on because you're a cop. There's a lot of lack of purpose or value, I should say, in these jobs. And I think value is the better term. And when people come to this greater awakening, they begin to question why they're there. And the structures in which we have become dependent on begin to collapse. It doesn't take an economic implosion. It doesn't take an EMP to wipe out the power. Those are the dramatic events we put in our mind, which I think, and ironically, they do two things. They would stimulate us in fear to prepare, but on the other hand, they give us safety in thinking that, well, there's a rare chance it'll happen. But the truth is, it's happening right now. And in this beginnings that we're happening, we're watching a society transform from within the heart because you can't stop that. That's the part that there is no stopping what's coming. It's the coming of the awakening of the heart. So when we go to this, the event that's coming up on the 8th, it's another layer of this. It's another very important event of the awakening. It's taking us into a new season, which I think it would be best said that rather than focusing on events and dates, which so many want to do, focus on the seasons which we're in. We're in a season of accountability. We're in a season of new beginnings. We're in a season of transformation of the heart. And everything that we know will change. And again, perhaps it will be something dramatic. Maybe the Madrid fault line will split and the United States will tear itself asunder and we'll have earthquakes and we'll have tidal waves and people will flood in and it will suddenly be in panic and screams and tears. And I don't think that's what it is. And I think part of it, the reason I don't think that is I think we have a greater effect on those outcomes than we realize. I think that as the spiritual beings in which we are, the children of the Most High, I think if we live in fear, I think we can manifest those fears. But I think when we live in love and we live in the deeper pursuit of God, I think that the futures that they keep trying to paint for us, keep trying to seed into us, just won't happen. And I think there's proof of that. And that proof is all these things that we hear, we're going to go to nuclear war, we're going to have this, and this, these tremors of war that we keep happening, they don't happen. Because every time that happens, more and more people do the only thing they know instinctively to do is to turn to God. So as we turn deeper into God and we start finding ourselves seeking Him, we start to find the world seems to just kind of calm down. This agitated, hyper-velocity type excitement suddenly tones down. And we find ourselves at a greater peace, and we find ourselves questioning again what we're doing. We get our purpose now. We start to say, well, why aren't we growing our own food? Why am I depending on the store? And we start to realize that as we grow our own food, we don't have to earn as much money. We start to question whether we have to get the latest style or the latest digital gadget or the latest cell phone because that one we've had continues to work okay. We look at our house and we say it's imperfect, but rather than selling it and building a bigger one, maybe we just, and even without even having to add to it, maybe we just reorganize and get rid of some things and create more space. Maybe we offload what we don't need and focus purely on what we do need and start living more simply. And we begin to be better stewards and we begin to conserve what we have and steward what we have better. And with this, our life is truly transforming. And it takes us back to the seven pillars of county by county, which, again, as I said, that all came from prayer and with God. And that happened almost 4 years ago. And it's a profound framework when you think about all that where we are now. We have home churches, and we have homeschooling, and Patriot Gardens, and right work, which is to work for yourself or somebody of like values. Health and wellness, relying on God, that which we grow in the world, and breaking from medical tyranny. We have informed action, which really gets into the understanding, which now is really manifested into understanding common law and the Bible, and getting into those things and getting deep into those principles of our Constitution and Declaration of Independence and Bill of Rights. And that's not a massive library either. That's just a few documents. And then we have the conservation and stewardship, which is to use better what we have and steward what we have better so that we're not having to be a replacement society. That's taking us into a different value set. And it changes, again, our relationship with all things. And as we start to look differently, we start to even ask ourselves questions of like, you know, do I want to live in a suburban environment? Do I want to go to the country? Do I want to break away from these high-density urban environments, which we're sold is really the thing. And if you've lived in one, which I have, it's like you enjoy kind of the convenience of everything. You walk along, there's a Starbucks. Portland's a great example. When I lived there, I had a condo up on Southwest Hills, and it was a two-mile walk down to my office. And there were 21 Starbucks, literally, on that two-mile walk. Now, that's not right on the walk, but in the space of downtown Portland, if I put on Starbucks locator on along that 2 mile path, I could find 21 Starbucks. And it's incredible. And we buy into this sort of future, this idea that everything is going to be there. So I don't have to do it, but somebody can do it for me. But each one of those places is stripping us of the creator part of us, that we are creators and we are doers. We are makers. We are that. And so as we transform our lives back to a simpler way, where the world is transforming, we're not just the only ones. Purpose is coming back. And so there's a lot of agitation here right now with many, many things in the news. There's the hypervelocity of the news, which has to sell headlines. And this goes along with Patriot headlines, too. I'm not excluding anybody on this. I'll give you a simple example. The Speaker of the House yesterday, there was notice that he was going to be removed. And there was a big splash on Gateway Pundit about this. And it was Marjorie Taylor Greene that was going to be pushing this initiative. And so I got a message today from Ivan Ranklin that kind of gave down the lowdown on that. So number one, it's not going to happen because they've pushed off the vote. So this whole hypervelocity yesterday, look out, here it comes, they're going to replace the Speaker of the House. So everybody goes extreme. By today, it's the vote's off. And then, of course, you have Marjorie Taylor Greene, who happens to be sleeping with McCarthy, and he's wanting to get back in the Speaker position, so he's using her to work with the Democrats. It's just this nonsense. It's meaningless. For our lives, it's meaningless. And it's just a waste of mental real estate. It's a waste of our heart energy to even worry about these fools. And the more that they do this in this hyper cycle of trying to grip onto control, which they can no longer hold onto, the only thing they have left is to continually keep us in this hyper state of agitation, because that's what their grip of power is. But as we approach this horizon now, where there is new beginnings, and one of the amazing things about a solar eclipse is it's truly a miracle to witness. And that even if you're not in the full, I mean, it's great to be in the full 100% of it, but even just witnessing something like that, it's a transformative moment in our lives. And it changes when we look at Gideon's army and we look at 300 that were able to disperse this massive amount of army. Imagine the impact of the people that will be in the line of this, and there will be many that are in line of this, that are in the total darkness, that will experience this, and think of what their heart and their spiritual energy will do to the world. It ripples out. It touches people. It's just the heart of Christ. And as that touches people, it changes people. Your perspective changes. We become more humbled. We become more in awe of the heavens. We become more humbled in the presence of God. And they lose power. They, meaning the elites, they can't grip onto things anymore. They can't hold on to us anymore. And we begin to question them. And then as that grows, that affects everything. It affects the purpose of how we live in our communities. It affects how people do their jobs. It affects those institutions that we rely on and become dependent on. We start to question, like, do I need to continue to pay that insurance? Do I need to continue to pay for this subscription or that subscription? Do I need to continue to pay for my Amazon Prime? Do I need to continue to pay for my Netflix? And notice all these things are tied toward a central hub of keeping us entertained, but keeping us out of the world. And as we experience the world, we begin to pull away from the digital space. We pull away and get into the real world. And the real world is alive and well. And so I say a lot of this, too, because there's so much hyperbolic type thinking right now of the end of time stuff. And this idea that something significant is going to turn the world upside down. And it might. I can't predict that. I don't have that gift of sight from our Father to say, I'm the prophetic word of what's coming tomorrow or on the 8th of April or on the 19th of April, which happens to be the Battle of Lexington and Concord anniversary, just so you know. Or the 4th of July or this or that. I just know that I just listen to God and he just tells me to make the next step. And that's what I rely on. And when we get there and we're making those next steps, there's just a comfort and a confidence to know. I look back and I say, wow, Father, 2 years ago, I knew nothing about cattle and you said to get cattle and I have cattle now. And I have cattle beyond anything I ever imagined. And I'm still learning a ton about cattle. I don't know a lot about cattle. I'm learning it every day. You know, and it's every single step. I'm stepping into a whole new experience here. We're getting two puppies, two Tibetan Mastiffs, which if you're going to do something, do it big. You know, if you're that's me. So literally, like, if you're going to get two puppies, don't get two puppies. Get two puppies that'll grow up to be about 165 pounds apiece and will be willing, big enough to take on grizzly bears. That's how you do that. And then each step of the way, we step into things as he leads and he opens us and up and we start to learn. We start to reach in and we start to learn that knowledge and we seek in the Holy Spirit and we learn and it changes our lives. And it puts us back in that root of who we're supposed to be. That's Jeremiah 6:16, seeking the ancient paths. It's not technologically driven. It's spiritually rooted. It's not anchored in having to find my knowledge in the library. It's anchored in me living the life and the wisdom that God provides. And that awakening that happens to us, again, is transforming us quietly. This idea where, you know, who's going to win the election or what's going to happen next. And it's interesting because when we start to run those roots of all these doom and gloom type predictions, there is no question that it's coming from the same source. Do I believe that there's a potential disruption? Of course, I think there's going to be, there has to be disruptions when you're undoing something this big. Do I think that there's going to be trial times and it's that one should prep? Absolutely, because we're prepping not just for ourselves, but for our community. That's the heart of this. Because what we're looking forward to is not whether we can weather the storm in our bunker eating cans of tuna and sleeping on your MyPillow. We're looking at how can we transition from where we are into something greater in the kingdom of God. And that's really it right there. Those that are afraid will bunker up. Those that are afraid will talk to you about get more ammo, get more guns, pack it up, be ready. It's going to be the end of the world. They're going to be coming for you. You're going to have to fight them and you're going to have to shoot them. We have to understand there is a need to protect property, but it isn't one we have to create a warring posture in all we do. In fact, it's quite to the contrary. We have to be in that place where our faith is greater than anything we have because it's there. Again, it's this metaphor of Peter and Jesus in the garden. Peter had the sword of steel. Jesus wielded the sword of the Spirit. And we see the two going hand in hand. And that's literally our walk. But it's the tempering of that moment, the meek warrior that knows that you have all you need if you need to become that one that wields the sword of the Spirit. But at the same time, we're not walking there. We're not pushing in there. We're working in the heart of Jesus. And we're going into new beginnings. And the new beginnings is not to replicate the past. And this ultimately is where we find ourselves in the biggest trap. Because we aren't thinking in terms of where we're going. We're thinking in terms of what we know and what has happened already. So when we look at things in preparing for a future, as you've heard me say many times here, the first thing on everybody's prep list should be a Bible. But I guarantee you it's not. Guarantee you, the majority of people, the first thing on their prep list is a gun. And that's because of where we came from, not where we're going. For me, the first thing on that prep list has to be a Bible. And when we have that, we are then framing the direction and where we're trying to move to, because we're not trying to weather a storm to go back to what was. We're trying to establish a foothold to move into something greater. The world is collapsing. Babylon is falling. And the biggest part of Babylon that is falling is that Babylon's structure, its control, is disintegrating. And instead of us being scattered to the wind and not being able to talk to one another, we're discovering through the heart of Jesus that we connect with each other in a greater, more amazing way. And there's our beginning. And that beginning is defined differently. It's a beginning that allows us to start looking at our neighbors differently and working together differently. And that's the big change, I think, that's on our horizon. It's a change where government no longer matters. And we're seeing this more and more. There was an incident that just happened over the weekend down in Arizona at a concert. And I found it, I'm laughing at it because it shows you the state of where we are. An aircraft was flying over this concert, obviously doing some sort of sweeping of intelligence, because that's what they do these days. And suddenly the crowd, with over 100 green lasers, went from in the crowd, because it's a concert, everybody's flashing them. They pointed it all at the aircraft. Now, by FAA standards, that is 100% illegal. You can blind a pilot and they can crash that aircraft, but they didn't care. It was a massive statement of, it's an $8,000 fine and jail time if they arrest you for it. And they, in the past, have raided people's houses because of this. But there was over 100 lasers that went up into the air and shined on this aircraft. And to me, that's a massive statement of where we are. We're sick and tired of the stupid. And we're wanting to get back to being who we are. We're being shaken. We're being transformed. We're being refined. And that rejection of what we're supposed to be obedient to, and now stepping into the place where our true obedience is, which is our Father and our Lord Jesus, that framing transforms everything. And everybody's going through that fire right now. And where that leads us is a completely different world. It's not defined by the Hollywood images and the end of times and the fire and the destruction and the tidal waves and the earthquakes. Quite to the contrary, is defined by the love and of our brother and the creation of what we do in our hands and the ability for us to make and build. And here's the thing. Even if we are hit with those disastrous times, we overcome them because we know how and we have the will to, rather than looking towards an agency to fill the gap in us to be obedient to. And ultimately, that change is going to be the biggest change in humanity and in this country than we've ever witnessed. We're here. We're in the transformation. We're in the storm, so to speak, but we're not feeling the rocking of the boat. We're sitting closer to Jesus than we are sitting to the apostles that are screaming to him and saying, Lord, what are we going to do? And he steps up and he says, ye of little faith. We are having more faith to realize that we can stand the storm and we can say, peace be still. So stand on that rock. Stand on that rock and proclaim it, peace be still. And know that that's the authorities we've been given. That's the place which we walk. That's the comfort which we have in our hearts. That's the peace that sits within. That no matter what comes at us, we can approach it with calm and resolution to overcome and not be faced with this intensity of feeling that the world is going to crush us. That's the old way. That's their narrative. We need to embrace our narrative, which is those of the children of the Most High. And within all of that, our lives get redefined. A world gets redefined. How we are run this world gets redefined. And the best part about it is we have no idea what this looks like, but we know where we can find it. We find it in our faith and in the wisdom of Holy Spirit and in the love of our Father that guides us. It's an amazing time to be alive. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you with a blessed opportunity to come together each and every day to share our hearts, to share our prayers, to share our needs, a community that continues to grow, to build, to interconnect. We pray together, we vision together, we walk together, and yet we all have our experiences in life that gives us a uniqueness in how we step and how we are and how we live and how we believe even at times. We're not just a monolithic mass, but we have character, we have color and the tapestry, we have an amazing difference within us that gives us strength and depth. And so tonight we just raise that up and honor that, that we don't have to see everything the same way, but rather we see things through that true love in the body of Christ, that diversity of true sense of spiritual diversity of each of us being uniquely made and yet perfect in your image. It's that beauty of walking truly with Christ and understanding that we've already been given our ultimate gift, the gift of everlasting life. And the acceptance of him has taken us to a place where there's nothing of this world that we can be afraid of or ever can be afraid of because we've already been given it all. All we have to do is simply walk without fear, have no doubt, and release ourselves from any sort of personal shame because that was taken away on the cross. And to embrace this time, not as obedient slaves to a system, but as a challenge each day to find something new, to take us to new levels, to find new ways to make ourselves more sufficient and self-sufficient and better in our communities. In this transformative time, Father, there is a lot. It seems to be a lot at stake, and I think there is, and I think we all know there is, but it's probably not the way that they want us to believe. That transformative change, we're being channeled to think that that change is coming through a vote and through an election. And we're missing that greater peace, the greater peace of understanding that our prayers and our presence in this world truly transform. And they transform in huge ways. They transform us in significant ways and transform this world in ways that we can't otherwise understand. Because we're walking in a place of love. We're walking in a place of peace. We're walking in a place of understanding truly whom we are, which is we are the children of the Most High. So thank you, Father. Thank you for these moments. Thank you for this opportunity to be in this most amazing time, the greatest rescue mission ever launched in humanity. We're part of it. We're here present with it, and we're living it. We don't need the sparks in the sky, the volcanoes, the earthquakes. Rather, all we need is our faith, and everything else we can endure. So we just pray for that spark, the excitement of faith to settle into each person's heart more than they've ever had, the desire to seek you out deeper than they ever have. And may we each pursue that each and every day. We say these things, we declare these things, and we say all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I want to just kind of close with these thoughts. I listened to a long piece today that was sent to me by Ivan Ranklin. And as I listened to it, he was talking about all the workings of DC and all this garbage in the back end that's going on. And as I sat back and listened to it, I thought, wow, you know, what's really amazing is if you didn't know better, you would think that there was a magical hand behind the scenes making these things work, like the impossible seems to be happening. And I kind of snickered and I said, but there is that hand. And it's our Father, but it's happening because of our prayers. We're changing the world, and it's empowering people with a good heart to do more, and it's reinforcing and reshaping a world in a network that has literally fallen away from God. We need to be leaning into Him. We need to find that passion for Him more than ever. And we have to continue to walk that path of true faith, of knowing that what we do each day matters. The words we speak are words of life and death. The actions we make transform the world in ways we may not understand. The callings that are put upon our heart by God, we have to be obedient to in the many ways that they take, and whatever, however big or small that is. That's our calling. That's how this works. And whether we have two people in our friend circle or whether we touch 500,000 or 250,000 or 10,000,000, it doesn't matter. Because God has us each where He needs us. And as we walk in that constant understanding in the body of Christ, that love of Jesus, that light that flows through us, releasing ourselves from any of the fears and just walking in the contentment with Him, seeking to be more active in our world, truly works in faith. I truly believe that whatever is coming will be something amazing to experience rather than something dreadful to fear. And I'll choose that amazing experience to watch and observe and be participant in any day over fear. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We're at war, so walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land, expand the kingdom, subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tomorrow morning for Bended Knee. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
Silver, come sit a while with me. Here in the twilight singing, here in the evening breeze. Here tonight I'll be waiting, come sit a while with me. Chasing mountains I can't climb, holding out for heroes in the night. I find myself here in the dark. We learn to fight and learn who we are, but I am raised up to face the stars full of light. And we are makes you shiver, and I chase the winter out of my mind like the dark in the distance. Wild, we are wild. Standing at the edge of a great sea. Sometimes it takes all you get to believe that you are whole here in the dark. We learn to fight when we fall apart, but we are raised up to face the stars. Endless light, and we are wild like a river, wild like the fire in your veins makes you shiver. And chase the winter out of my mind like the dark in the distance. Wow.